Good evening, everyone. It is 11:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday night, September 25th, 2016. I am Don Tony. This is your WWE Clash of the Champions pay-per-view recap. I'm going to try to keep this recap very short, very to the point. I don't want to talk about other news and stuff going on for the simple reason being this. This broadcast is obviously available for everybody that listens to our shows. It's available to our Patreon audience first, which they have access to this on Sunday night. And then this Tuesday, which most of you will be hearing this then, I am attaching this to this special Tuesday edition of the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. Now, I just want to shout out our Patreon audience. Because of you, they're the reason why the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show and Breakfast with Blasi remain free for everyone. And I just want to let everyone on Patreon know that I am going to post something on our Patreon page in the next day or two, starting with the No Mercy pay-per-view, SmackDown brand, October 9th. We're going to start doing a pay-per-view predictions contest. Basically, everybody that's on our Patreon page, you post your predictions, who's going to win the matches for WWE pay-per-view. If you get all the matches right, you win prize. Plain and simple. Now, I know some people are going to immediately say to me, well, Don Tony, since you're also recapping TNA pay-per-views, why don't you do the pay-per-view predictions contest for TNA pay-per-views as well? Now, I'll be straight out with everyone. I had every intention on doing that. The problem is, from what I have gotten from our listening audience, about 5% of our listeners watch TNA pay-per-views. All right, it's just not fair to have 300, 400, 500 people on our Patreon page, you know, available, and only 10 are going to participate in the contest. So since a majority of everyone out there has access to the WWE Network, or you have links, you know, I don't condone it, but you have links online where you can watch the pay-per-views for free. A majority of our audience watches WWE pay-per-views. That's why this pay-per-view predictions contest is going to be available for WWE pay-per-views only. Now, a couple of things I just want to point out to everyone. I have been saying this for weeks upon weeks upon weeks. WWE Clash of Champions should have been a dual brand pay-per-view. All right. For the simple reason that Clash of Champions, you think champions, I think of the lineage. I think of the history of Clash of the Champions. Yes, not every match on Clash of the Champions was for a title. I get it. But to me, I put Clash of the Champions as one of those higher echelon pay-per-views. You know what I mean? Like, No Mercy, all right, I don't care if it's a single brand pay-per-view. Backlash, fine, whatever. You know, but Clash of the Champions, I think it would have been better suited to be Raw and SmackDown joint pay-per-view. Now, as of now, and I believe this will stick, Survivor Series will be a dual brand pay-per-view. Survivor Series takes place November 20th. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up now is because after today, your next WWE Raw brand pay-per-view is Hell in a Cell, which will take place October 30th, 2016. All right. After Hell in a Cell, you have Survivor Series, which Raw stars will compete as well. Now, as far as SmackDown goes, you have No Mercy October 9th. You then have Survivor Series November 20th, which is almost 6 weeks later. However, after Survivor Series, the next SmackDown only pay-per-view is Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, which airs only 2 weeks after Survivor Series. That's December 4th. Now, hopefully I didn't confuse anybody out there. The bottom line, what I'm saying is that you're going to have a six-week gap between SmackDown champions wrestling on pay-per-views. That is No Mercy and Survivor Series. However, after Survivor Series, 2 weeks later, you have a SmackDown only pay-per-view. Okay, so, you know, so you're going to see a little bit of a gap. And then all of a sudden, you're going to feel like there's a surge. Now, the interesting thing is, since I am doing these pay-per-view recaps, you know, it seems like I'm doing one almost every week or every 2 weeks. Because think about it. Right now, it's September 25th. And I know a majority of you are going to hear this September 27th. But next week is TNA Bound for Glory. The week after is No Mercy. And then 2 weeks after that, or actually 3 weeks after that, you got Hell in a Cell. So you actually going to have pay-per-view recaps for the next 2 weeks. So I hope you enjoy it. Anyway, like I said before, I'm not going to get into other news and other stuff going on, because a majority of the listeners are going to check this out, are going to hear this on Tuesday. And myself and Kevin Castle would have already taped the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show on Tuesday. We obviously would have talked about everything that's gone down in the world of wrestling the last week. Obviously, the tragic deaths of Jose Fernandez, the passing of Arnold Palmer, Bill Nunn, and, you know, other things going on as well. The presidential debate, that doesn't even happen till tomorrow. By the time you all hear this, it would have happened already. So I want to focus primarily on tonight's pay-per-view. And I want to say something that I did say before, okay? Because the brands are split right now, you're going to have matches and some wrestlers that are going to be featured on shows that, for all intents and purposes, may not have gotten the opportunity if these were still dual-brand pay-per-views. Think of what happened tonight with TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick. I enjoyed the match. You know, I don't want to jump back and forth with the matches tonight, but, you know, something tells me if this was a dual-brand pay-per-view, that might have been the pre-show match tonight. You know, and you think of even Backlash when you had the Hype Bros on there. And, you know, there's some wrestlers here and there that are going to get a pay-per-view opportunity now that they wouldn't have gotten before. So for a long time, for these single-brand pay-per-views, you're not going to have up and down the card, top-notch matches. It's a little bit watered down right now. You know, it's, and I don't mean watered down like, you know, there's so many wrestlers and it. No, it's just that, you know, you don't have AJ Styles and John Cena competing on a, you know, pay-per-view like this tonight. You don't have Randy Orton. Brock Lesnar, I mean, he wrestled last night against Randy Orton at a house show in Chicago. He's obviously, you know, would be a great asset right now, especially with the WWE ratings being in the toilet. And Lord knows of what WWE's rating is going to be for Monday. I already said this weeks ago, that it's going to probably be the lowest rating the WWE's ever received. They're anticipating 100 million viewers to watch the presidential debate. So, you know, maybe it's good that WWE has not used Brock Lesnar on TV the last couple of weeks. But I will say this, their next pay-per-view, I think Brock Lesnar is an absolute necessity. So anyway, tonight you had Clash of the Champions. This aired, where were we tonight? We were in, oh, crap. I had it written down, too. Here it is, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Indianapolis, Indiana. I thought the crowd was pretty good. You know, the Roman Reigns, you know, let's go Roman sucks. Let's go Roman. It was so loud tonight, and, you know, I'm watching people online commenting, wow, it's just like John Cena. You all remember about a year ago I said Roman Reigns is going to get the John Cena push? And you remember, and I'm not saying this to shoot down my co-host, but remember my co-host? He ain't nothing like John Cena. I didn't say that he was going to have the same repertoire, but the way that he was going to be utilized, being a polarized figure, being the guy for the women and the children, you know, I called this over a year ago. We were going to get, let's go Roman, Roman sucks. Let's go Roman, Roman sucks. Well, we'll get into Roman Reigns a little bit later, but I did get a kick out of the crowd tonight with some of the chants. New Day versus Gallows and Anderson. You know, when New Day came out, cutting a promo, talking about how they're about to hit 400 days and this and that, I said to myself, you know, I hope that that's a prelude to them losing tonight. I'm still entertained by New Day, but their title reign right now just seems like it's going through the motions. I mean, look, New Day is not required to have 5-star matches. You know, Kofi Kingston, awesome, talented wrestler, Big E, solid guy, solid in the ring, no issues with him whatsoever. But you don't, it doesn't feel, does the New Day versus Gallows and Anderson really feel like the strong feud it was supposed to be? You remember Big E, you know, being quote unquote on the shelf and they're simulating, like putting their balls in a jar and stuff. Does it really feel like there's an intense feud going on? I don't think so. And not only that, I'm sure I covered this with Kevin Castle on this past Tuesday's broadcast, but WWE had a poll recently. Who's the best tag team right now in WWE? And I hate polls like that because it's simply a popularity contest. And I think Gallows and Anderson was all the way on the bottom of the list. I mean, talent-wise, Gallows and Anderson is right at the top. But as far as popularity goes, and it's and let me be honest with everybody out there. I know what some people are going to say. Gallows and Anderson are heels. So, of course, the WWE Universe is not going to really get behind them like they would get behind, like, Enzo and Kaz, which was ranked number one. And I'm a big Enzo Kaz fan, but I don't think they're the best tag team in WWE right now. They might be the most entertaining, but they're not the best one. But, you know, look how the fans are very receptive to Kevin Owens. Look how the fans are very, very receptive to Chris Jericho. Say what you want about Chris Jericho being, some people say, past his prime, and that is very well true. But I have been praising Chris Jericho for years. You go on YouTube, search Don Tony Chris Jericho. I've been fucking praising Chris Jericho for the last bunch of years. You know, a lot of people have caught the bandwagon the last 6 months or so. And that's not me saying, oh, you know, well, I'm smarter than all of you. No, I just, there's things about Chris Jericho that I really, really liked. And, you know, it's now misastatized, if that's the right way to put it. Into, you know, something completely different. And the fans are getting behind it, and I love it. I love it. So, but again, Kevin Owens, heel. Chris Jericho, heel. You come up with some people as well. AJ Styles has been a heel for a while. Very, very highly receptive by the WWE fans. You know, so, you know, Gallows and Anderson being on the bottom of the pile was really disappointing. And to see them lose tonight was disappointing also. I mean, the match, I got to tell you, TJ Perkins and Brian Kendrick, New Day versus Gallows and Anderson, they felt like Raw matches to me. They were decent matches, nothing to, you know, write home about. They just went through the motions. And not only that, I felt that New Day versus Gallows and Anderson and TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick were way too short. You know, New Day won, you know, they I think it was Kofi that pinned Karl Anderson. And as Karl Anderson was getting pinned, I was saying to myself, I wonder what he's thinking right now, that he's getting pinned. And, you know, as far as WWE fans, like, they are the least, you know, they're almost on vaudevillains territory as far as how the fans give a shit about them. And it's sad. It's sad. I think WWE needs to do something about Gallows and Anderson fast, okay? It sucks that we're probably going to have to wait another month or a month and a half to see them possibly get gold. Hopefully that comes sooner before a pay-per-view. But, you know, they need to do something fast with those two guys because they're not going to become damaged goods. But, you know, you get to a point where you feel like it's very, very difficult to come back from. And unfortunately, I feel that way about the vaudevillains. I am a big fan of the vaudevillains. It's just the way that WWE was utilizing them, it just felt like it's going to be almost impossible for them to gain the momentum. Look at the Puerto Ricans, all right? The Puerto Ricans. I mean, even though they're feuding with Enzo and Kaz right now, does anybody really feel that they're on any momentum? No, it just feels like WWE just decided to give them a couple of wins. But I don't feel like they're climbing up the ladder, you know? So WWE really needs to do something soon with Gallows and Anderson, seriously. TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick, like I said on Monday and I said last week, the last 2 weeks, you know, TJ Perkins, up and coming star, fucking world of ability. He is not connected with the WWE Universe as of yet. Yes, he does have a small fan following. All right. There's something about him that I have to think about. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't have that connection with the fans. And I know some people are going to say, Don Tony, you got to give it time. It gets developed. You know, I agree with what you're saying, but I remember in 1995, you know, when we had Rey Mysterio and, you know, Psychosis show up in ECW Arena. Yes, ECW Arena is a much smaller fan audience at the time. And, you know, we had the tape traders and we had people that weren't really watching East, but they were getting a nice buzz, even in the magazines at that time. They were getting a nice buzz. And when they went to WCW and they had their first match in WCW, everybody took notice. Something felt special about those guys in the ring. And yes, I know we're 21 years later and we have been spoiled with luchadors over the years and cruiserweights and this and that. So obviously it doesn't feel revolutionary anymore. And I don't think it should feel revolutionary. But, you know, Brian Kendrick tonight, after the match was over, TJ Perkins stuck out his hand to shake Brian Kendrick's. Brian Kendrick gave him a hug. Then he gave him a headbutt on the side of his face, like around the chin, you know, like the left ear area. Obviously, he doesn't want to connect on his face, bust him wide open. But the fans got into it. They wanted Brian Kendrick to do it again. Brian Kendrick showed attitude. Obviously, Brian Kendrick, I think they said tonight, was on WWE, 13 WWE pay-per-views in the past. Brian Kendrick and Paul London were the longest reigning tag champs before New Day, you know, as far as holding the current titles. But, you know, Kendrick is, I don't want to say a household name because a lot of new fans tuning in that probably never saw Kendrick wrestle before. But Kendrick is well-known enough, and he's got a persona. He's got a character. He connects with the crowd. And the crowd was into him, you know, going after TJ Perkins after the match. So TJ Perkins has some work to do. And just doing high spots is not going to be enough. All right. I don't know yet what I would do to tweak TJ Perkins a little bit. But right now, he just looks like a small guy, decent wrestling moves. But I don't know if that connection with the crowd worldwide, universe, I'm talking majority of fans. I understand a good portion of our audience is already into TJ Perkins. I like TJ Perkins. He deserves to be Cruiserweight champion. I said last week, Brian Kendrick was put in this match to help TJ Perkins get over more with the WWE crowd. Okay? They'll probably fight again. And hopefully they'll help him similar to what Jericho did with AJ Styles early on. You know, not to the same level, but, you know, just help him get over a little bit more, get acclimated with the WWE audience, hopefully try to build a little sympathy towards TJ Perkins. But, you know, the first two matches tonight just felt like raw matches, nothing special. Cesaro versus Sheamus, best out of seven. You know, for the first few minutes of the match, it just felt like just another Cesaro-Sheamus match. And when you have them all the last couple of weeks on, you know, Raw, and yeah, I know one was on SummerSlam, one was overseas, but it just felt like a typical Cesaro-Sheamus match until the suicide dive outside the fucking ring. If you people haven't seen it yet, you got to see it. I hope to God, you know, now, like I said, most of you right now are going to hear this by Tuesday. I'm recording this Sunday night, 15 minutes after the pay-per-view ended. So I have no idea what Cesaro's condition is right now. I hope to God he didn't suffer any injuries, you know, but for those that did not see the spot, he did a suicide dive to Sheamus outside the ring. And if anybody remembers a couple of weeks ago, I brought up Big E almost landing on his head. And I said, what is with this obsession of all these wrestlers doing suicide dives now outside the ring? It's not a fucking unbelievable holy shit move anymore. And there's a lot of risk involved. You get your leg stuck, you know, whatever. If it's not done perfectly, you can land head first. I remember talking about it on the show with Big E when he almost fucking lands on his head. Well, tonight, Cesaro landed straight down on his head. Now, you look at the move in slow motion. It doesn't look like his feet got caught on the ropes at all. I know that, you know, his foot hit the top of the rope just a little. I don't think that was the case at all. I just think, you know, it was just an unfortunate incident. We thought the guy was seriously injured. Got up, you know, was shaken up for a little bit. Match continued. Basically, you know, I thought when Sheamus hit the big kick, you know, the bro kick, right after that move, I thought, okay, Cesaro was injured. They're ending this match, 1, 2, 3. But then what happens? Cesaro kicks out. Then all of a sudden, Cesaro hits a couple of moves and the neutralizer goes for the pin really quick. And he's hitting the moves fast. I'm like, oh, okay, he's going to get 1, 2, 3. It's all. There's two count there also. And I'm like, wow. And people started getting into it. People were saying, you know, this is awesome. The match turned out to be really, really entertaining. I know everybody is poo-pooing on the end of their match. As of now, we don't know if that was designed. We don't know if maybe, you know, it was a legit, you know, injury and the refs, WWE was concerned. But basically how the match ended, Cesaro hit a clothesline to Sheamus. They both fell over the barricade. The ref stopped the match. Cesaro, you know, he's playing off to the ref. I could wrestle with one arm. He goes back in the ring. The other refs are helping Sheamus to the back, and that's it. So obviously we'll have something happen on Raw with regards to those two, but that's basically how the match ended. And so far, up to that point, my favorite match of the night. Then you have Y2J defeating Sami Zayn. You know, it was a back-and-forth match. He won with the Codebreaker. You know, I know some people immediately were upset at Sami Zayn losing again, but, you know, this keeps the feud going a little bit more. Sami Zayn will get a win on Chris Jericho. It may happen on Raw. I don't think it's going to wait until the next pay-per-view, but Sami Zayn will get a victory on Chris Jericho. And for all of the fucking hard work Chris Jericho is doing, there is nothing wrong with Chris Jericho getting a victory once in a while. Sami Zayn's career is not over because Y2J won a match tonight. All right. I was a little surprised, you know, because you think Sami Zayn, okay, get a one up on Chris Jericho, you know, even if it was a roll up or something. But I'm not complaining about it. And it's not just because I'm a big fan of Jericho's too. There is nothing wrong with WWE keeping Chris Jericho relevant because Chris Jericho is needed on some main events here and there. All right, they want to keep the suspension of disbelief that Jericho could still win. Plain and simple. And, you know, but again, match was, you know, it was entertaining. It was back and forth. Nothing, you know, seriously memorable. Now we had a backstage segment with Kevin Owens, Mick Foley, and Stephanie. You know, and they're talking about how they're proud of Kevin Owens, this and that, you know, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, my only message is, and this is not Don Tony nitpicking, I have them too. I'm sure a lot of people have them also. Underneath your underarm, below your armpit, when you lose some weight, you get some of these stretch marks, all right? Right under your armpit. And message to WWE, cameraman, Kevin Owens has stretch marks right underneath his armpit. In high-definition 4K TV, it is ugly as fuck. Just move your camera to the right, fucking just a couple of fucking inches. I mean, they kept hitting that and hitting that and hitting that. And it was almost like focusing on that, just like we focus on Bo Dallas's package when he wears some of those outfits to the ring. I mean, I'm watching the segment and I'm like, does the cameraman realize that he's getting all of these stretch marks? Move fucking over for a couple of inches. God. I know I'm nitpicking, but I just saw that tonight, and I'm like, you know, you're not helping Kevin Owens by fucking including that in on the segment. So, anyway, next match, Charlotte retains her women's championship over Bayley and Sasha Banks. And like I said on Monday, Bayley was put into this match so she could be the lovable loser, okay? She is Raw's lovable loser right now. There is nothing wrong with that. Bayley will get an upset win here and there. But right now, Bayley is like the 1-2-3 girl. You know what I mean? Like the 1-2-3 kid. You know, we all root for her. We wanted to win. She's the long shot. She's the underdog. And that's how WWE's going to play it for a while. The underdog, unexpected. Any victory she gets, it's going to be an upset, blah, 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 blah. And for now, there's nothing wrong with that. But I said Monday, you could listen to that show. Charlotte was retaining. And she was going to win the match by pinning Bayley. And that's exactly what happened. You know, match was entertaining. It got sloppy at times. Dana Brooke, once again, just sloppy outside the ring. You know, just look towards the end of the match. You know, Sasha Banks went to kick her, you know, so she could do the bank statement. And she was a little too far away. And it was just, you know, she's just, look at Jericho putting Kevin Owens' foot on the rope in the main event, and then you look at things like Dana Brooke is doing, and you could see how someone knows how to do it, and someone just doesn't have a fucking clue right now, all right? She needs to be seasoned a little bit more. I know I'm sounding very harsh on Dana Brooke the last couple of months, but I've been noticing this for a while now, and this is, you know, especially since the roster is not as strong with it being a split. You know, these things stick out even more. She needs more seasoning. There was a little bit of sloppiness here and there. The match was, you know, fine with its spots. I loved Charlotte doing the moonsault onto Bayley and Sasha Banks. They were laid out in the ring, laying next to each other. Charlotte hit this beautiful moonsault. Beautiful. Executed perfectly. You know, the one thing I will say, and, you know, this is me just nitpicking again. You know, they keep bringing up the double pin that took place, you know, the week before. You know, and I talked to a few people online about this. Shout out to Kress also because he pointed it out too. You know, remember, you know, this is WWE stupidity. Dana Brooke was in the fucking match too. If they want to keep playing in storyline that Sasha Banks and Bayley double pinned each other, that means Dana Brooke should be the winner. Think about that. That was a three-way. Everybody seems to forget that Dana Brooke was in that match, too. They played it off again tonight that it was a double pin. It's that. Well, if it's a double pin, then Dana Brooke is your winner. Think about that. And there was also a spot tonight, too, where Charlotte, Bayley, and Sasha Banks were all laid out in the ring. So Charlotte, obviously inadvertently, had her arm draped across Sasha Banks. Why is the ref not counting 1, 2, 3? He's just looking at them like, I'm not supposed to can't do the count now. So, you know, it was just a couple little things that, you know, were like, eh. But they did bust their ass. It was a good match nonetheless, and Charlotte retained. Next, you had Roman Reigns winning the United States Championship over Rusev. You know, it is what it is. You know, there was one point where Lana pulled the ref out of the ring. Yeah, and I love when the ref always, like, causes the valets to go to the back. And what happens every single time? The valet, Maurice, has done this. Dana Brooke has done it. Lana did it tonight. They get unbelievably pissed off at the referee. No, 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 I didn't do nothing wrong. But then they walk back fucking 5 seconds later. I mean, yes, I know in store, you know, they have to continue the match. But Jesus Christ, it's just corny when you see all three women. The ref goes, out, out, you need to go. And they're like, no, 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 I didn't do anything wrong. And 2 seconds later, they're in the back already. I mean, it's just, it happens over and over and over and over. Have some fucking fight. Threaten to fucking take the title. I mean, I know it's an extra 30 seconds or a minute, but come on, you can't figure out how to chop off a minute somewhere else. So anyway, match ended. Rusev had Roman Reigns in a camel clutch. Roman Reigns broke out of it, similar to Hulk Hogan, the Iron Sheik, only 10 times sloppier. You know, Reigns hits the spear, 1, 2, 3, U.S. champion. You know, big question now is who is Roman Reigns going to feud with next? Honestly, I haven't even thought about it. I'm not the biggest Roman Reigns fan. I'm not going to sit here and think tonight, who should be his next opponent? Maybe Jericho. I don't know. I have no idea. You know, Roman Reigns got the title. You know, there was a lot of let's go Roman. Roman sucks chance tonight. He did get a pop, you know, when he got the pin. You know, I think some people, like, get excited for a title change. Then it sinks in later who actually won the title. I always bring it up, and one day I'll remember which match it was. I remember there was something with Christian in Canada where the fans popped for something. And then I guess after, because Christian was a heel at the time, and then after they popped for it, like, I guess they realized, like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You know, and it's like, why did we pop for this? And then all of a sudden the fans were shitting all over it. I don't remember what match it was, but it was so fucking funny to watch on TV. But, you know, you got Roman Reigns getting the victory today, and we'll see where it goes. Now, I only have 90 seconds left. I just want to finish it up very quickly. I did laugh all across the net. And you know what? I'm actually going to keep this recording going an extra 5 minutes. You see, all of you out there, this is why I like doing sometimes recorded shows. I can hit pause, add extra time, and just keep going. You know, and I want people to understand something. You know, sometimes when I do the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show on Monday nights, you know, the show is 90 minutes. All right. I know sometimes we go a little bit earlier and we go a little bit later. And, you know, I love my co-host to death, but one of the most annoying things that happen once in a while, and I say this lightheartedly, is I'll message him earlier in the night, Kev, listen, I really only want to do an hour today. I'm really tired. I got to get up at like 6 o'clock, you know, to go to motor vehicles, do some errands, go to work, and this and that. I want to end after an hour, hour and 15 minutes. Then an hour and 15 minutes comes, and I'm like, all right, I guess, you know, we're out of time. And what happens? My co-host goes, oh, we could go another half hour. Or, you know, a topic that we're trying to fit in five topics in 10 minutes. And then next thing I know, he's ranted for 9 minutes on one particular topic. And it's like, I applaud my co-host. He busts his fucking ass in the heavy metal music scene. But he doesn't have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to an office. You know, they do insurance and stuff like that. I do. So everybody out there, I wish that I could stay up to the wee hours in the morning on late Monday nights to give you 3-hour broadcasts like we did 5, 6, 7 years ago. It ain't happening. But, you know, when we do these pay-per-view recaps, though, it is a little bit earlier. I can, you know, take my time doing this. And honestly, if it wasn't for our dedicated patrons out there, I probably would record this maybe Monday during the day. So I could go as long as I want because it's during the afternoon. But, you know, even right now we're approaching, you know, 10 to 12 midnight. I got to get my ass up early in the morning. So, you know, that's why I sometimes like to do the pre-recorded stuff. I like to do it at my, you know, leisure. I could do it a little bit earlier. I could maybe spend a little bit extra time, blah, 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 blah. You know, you get the deal. So anyway, so we got a little bit extra time here. Roman Reigns, you know, as I said, you know, got the win, U.S. champion, fine. Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, I laughed the last couple of days, and feel free to Google them. You got all these fucking Nimrods out there writing these articles. Kevin Owens expected to lose at Clash of Champions. Kevin Owens likely to lose the title. Kevin Owens will lose the title. Kevin Owens is overwhelmingly the underdog to keep the title, and they're blaming low ratings, they're blaming this, blaming that, blaming this. And I didn't see that at all. I mean, you're not going to put the belt on Kevin Owens. I don't care if the ratings are not that great right now with Monday Night Football and now with the presidential debate. You know, there's not many other go-to guys right now that's going to surge the ratings. Seth Rollins was the champion before, and the ratings were not great at all. To me, the only person that could possibly hotshot the ratings that is on the Raw roster is Brock Lesnar. And the focal point of Raw right now is not surrounded around Brock Lesnar. So I don't know why all these websites were saying Kevin Owens is expected to lose. And it was funny because even this weekend, Las Vegas put their odds out. Yes, you could bet on WWE pay-per-views, believe it or not. You know, it's funny because if I worked at WWE, and I had access to who was going to win and who was going to lose, you know, I would, even if it was just one match to put a lot of money on, I would do it. I mean, it's very risky to get arrested over it. You know, if you know the outcome and you fucking put money in, you get your ass in jail. You get fucking your head blown off over stuff like that. But even this weekend, you know, Las Vegas put their odds out. Kevin Owens was the overwhelming favorite to keep the title. You had to bet $10 on Kevin Owens to win back one. Seth Rollins, you would bet $2 to get back 11. So Kevin Owens was the overwhelming favorite. I'm reading all these websites and I'm like, where the fuck are these people? These are people that are giving an opinion but trying to report it as news. That's one of the stupidest things that I see across the net a lot now. And it's not just websites, there's podcasts that do it too. We always say this. Myself, Breakfast with Blasi, Breakfast Soup, you know, Don, Tony, Kevin Castle Show, Castle Chronicles. We're an opinion show. We're an analysis, all right? We do report news from time to time, and sometimes we break news from time to time, but we specifically tell you when it's a news story, and you know when we're just giving our opinions and analysis. But some of these matarazzas out there are reporting it as news, and I'm like, you know, what, if they were fucking so certain, then why are they not betting on Las Vegas? So anyway, I left it all those articles over the weekend. And, you know, the match was good. Universal title. Jericho got involved. I was very surprised Triple H did not get involved. For the life of me, I thought for the last couple of weeks, Triple H was definitely going to get involved. Screw Seth Rollins again. You know, this could intensify the feud between Seth Rollins and Triple H. We saw no Triple H tonight. Now, I look at this as one of two ways. You know, maybe keeping Triple H away entirely forces the lame storyline that I've been saying, the storyline stupidity, that Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, you know, yeah, Seth Rollins was a little annoyed at Triple H last week, but if you remember last week's Don Tony and Kevin Castle show, the week before, I said, why is Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins not trying to, like, rip the company down to get their hands on Triple H for what they did? You know, especially Roman Reigns. You know, so maybe keeping Triple H away, you know, helps calm down that aspect of the storyline a little bit. You know, but I also feel that maybe it was a good idea not to have Triple H tonight, because now you could say Kevin Owens won clean. And yes, I know Chris Jericho was at ringside. I know Chris Jericho got involved a little bit. But come on, if you're going to really nitpick like that, what about when Seth Rollins was champion and J&J Security got involved in every fucking match? When the Authority got involved in every fucking match? You know, so Jericho being at ringside tonight, you know, it was just to put a little twist on the match a little bit. There was one spot tonight that I really enjoyed, and that was Kevin Owens hitting the cactus elbow outside the ring, you know, to the floor onto Seth Rollins. I hated that the announcers called it a flying elbow drop. Call it the fucking cactus elbow. You got Mick Foley as the GM on Raw. Show a little love for fucking Cactus Jack. When Owens does that off the fucking ring deal padded floor, call it the cactus elbow. So anyway, towards the end, you know, Seth Rollins did the DX chop, hit the pedigree, only got a two count. You know, like I said earlier, you know, Jericho put Kevin Owens' foot on the ropes. You see how Jericho does everything. It's smooth as silk. You know, he's an easy go-to guy to do what's needed, you know, for everything. He just does everything right. And he's not the only person that does it right. But, you know, Jericho was good at ringside, get a little bit more heat on Kevin Owens. But anyway, what happened was there was a ref bump. And, you know, when you thought the ref bump, you know, Seth Rollins doing the DX chop, this would spark Triple H to come out, didn't happen. So we have a ref bump, and the ref is knocked out for too long of a time. And what happens? Stephanie comes out, brings a second ref to the ring. The ref hits the ring, doesn't do anything shady, but Seth Rollins, because he was looking at the other ref, got distracted, basically walked into a pop-up powerbomb by Kevin Owens, 1-2-3, got the pin. Referee didn't do anything. Stephanie didn't do anything. Like I said, most of you get to hear this on Tuesday. I'm recording this Sunday night. I hope we don't see any stupidity on Raw where Seth Rollins is mad at Stephanie for bringing out a replacement referee. The fucking referee didn't do nothing wrong in storyline. He just went into the ring. Seth Rollins was distracted, got a pop-up powerbomb to him, 1-2-3, end of story. And that's how basically it went off the air. You know, Kevin Owens, I love his verbiage during the match. You know, quintessential heel, plays off on the crowd. Things that he says make sense. It sounds like something you and I would fucking do to really, like, you know, mock your opponent, or if you really want to belittle someone. He just knows what to say. He just knows what to do. Everything seems to make sense. It tells a story. And the wrestlers that are the most successful in the ring tell a story. They tell a story in the ring. They tell a story outside the ring. They tell a story when they interact with the fans. They tell a story, you know, and that's an art form. Unfortunately, spot fests and wrestling ability is not enough. You got to be able to tell that into a beautiful story. And I think Kevin Owens does a damn good job of it right now. I don't see him losing that title anytime soon. So anyway, that's pretty much it. I don't think I left anything out. If there's anything that I know this might sound ass backwards Tuesday, but if there's anything I may have forgotten tonight talking about, you know, the pay-per-view, I'll talk about it on Tuesday. Yes, I remember Nia Jax took on Alicia Fox for the pre-show. Not really. You know, I mean, Nia Jax got the victory, and, you know, it's pretty much what we expected from her. I think the next pay-per-view, she will have an actual match on the pay-per-view. I'm very curious to see what they do with her next. You know, we hear rumblings of Tamina Snuka coming back. I don't know if I want to see Tamina feud with Nia Jax. Even though they're both powerhouses, I don't see Tamina Snuka getting any momentum anytime soon. So I'd like to see a little twist with Nia Jax. Not saying that she should feud with Sasha or Bayley, but I just don't think I want to see Nia Jax versus Tamina right now. Yeah, and I have a feeling that that's where they may go with it. So that's pretty much it. So I hope you enjoyed this pay-per-view recap, Clash of Champions. You know, the last one I did a little over an hour. I thought that was a little bit too much. Yes, I talked about some wrestling tidbits and news, you know, as well. But like I said, since a majority of everyone out there is going to be hearing this Tuesday night, I don't want to get into certain topics now just to get into them again on the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show. So we'll just keep these pay-per-view recaps focused on the pay-per-view recap. You know, maybe a couple little tidbits of things here and there that maybe I know we won't discuss on Mondays. So that's pretty much it. Now, again, big shout out to our patrons out there. Thank you so much for the support. In the next day or two, I am going to post a little thread on Patreon. We're going to do a little pay-per-view predictions contest from now on with the WWE pay-per-views. Again, all you have to do is just list your predictions. And if you get your predictions right, you'll win some prizes. And we're going to do that for all WWE pay-per-views. But like I said, I will post a thread on Patreon for all our patrons out there to check it out. Programming schedule. This week, you have Breakfast with Blasi that I will tape, which will be Wednesday, the 28th of September. You have the Castle Chronicles, which is going to tape either Thursday the 29th or Friday the 30th. I have to check with Kevin's schedule. You also have Wrestling Soup this Thursday night, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Your next edition of Breakfast Soup will air next Wednesday, the 5th of October. Thank you, everyone, who enjoyed that first edition of Breakfast Soup with Mish and myself. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. And for everybody that got a kick out of that Breakfast Soup graphic on our Facebook page, yes, that is available on a shirt. So, and a few people have ordered it already. So if you want to get your Breakfast Soup shirt, go check it out. Go to Facebook. Facebook.com/DTKCShow. Or you could check out my t-shirt store, ProWrestlingTees.com/DonTony. You could catch me on Twitter, @DonTonyD. It's David. And I'm out of here. So thank you once again for listening. And your next pay-per-view recap will be next week for TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view.